Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming your way, Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live, living color, the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses. Only at ShopRite. And joining us right now, my good buddy. Of course, he's a big star on the CBS radio network. Him and Tiki. Tierney and Tiki. I guess that's how you say it, right?
Big star. Still doesn't know the name. Do you know what time we're on, Joe?
He can run right after us, right?
Oh, Joe.
What time are you on?
I appreciate the effort, but it's 3 o'clock, man. You don't know this.
Well, because how would I know this, bro?
Well, then how would you say I'm a big star if you don't know
that? Well, I know you're on. I know that. I got to go to the exact time.
Joey boy.
What do I know? I know that when I get out of here at 1 o'clock, it's over. I have checked out once I'm out.
Let's be honest. Half the time you're here, you checked out. You're waiting to get to that first tee box, right, Joe?
Well, not today. I actually taking a... I'll play tomorrow. I'll play Saturday. Let me tell you this.
Speaking of that, another hole in one?
No. No, even better than that. My wife broke 100 for the first time yesterday.
She must have gone nuts.
97.
Tearing out of girl.
And she did it. Let me tell you what made it even better. Yeah. She did it. She plays every year. They have this. They call it the Ladies Classic up in Bergen County.
Which course?
Valley Brook. I played with you.
Absolutely. Yep. I like it. Yeah. I know it.
And they play every year. So it was in this Ladies Classic that she did it. So that made it even better.
Wow. You know, like an officially sanctioned event.
Exactly right. Woo. And she's going to have like a name in the paper.
Really?
Yeah.
That is awesome, man.
I'm very happy. Her game is really coming around.
Congrats, Terry. She's a grinder. I know she loves hitting them on the range and practicing and getting after it. That's awesome.
She loves playing it.
So when are you going to break 100, by the way?
Oh, I've done it. Two times. No, I have broken. My best this year so far was 90.
Really? Yeah. You're down to 90, Joe.
At Blue Hill. I did 90. I've done 90, 94, 95 this year, all at Blue Hill. My best, though, was 90. I really should have broke 90 that day.
Okay.
I played better than that.
Did our boy AJ set you up there at Blue Hill?
AJ sets me, and Mike set me up all the time there.
So which two? Because for those who don't know, there's three nines at Blue Hill. Which one would you start on the par three?
Pines. No. I think it was Pines and Woodlands.
So you started the one on the middle and then the one to the right.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The one that starts off with a long par four.
Uh-huh.
It's about a 450-yard par four.
Yeah, not a cheapie.
No. And then the par five, which is probably even shorter than the par four. After that.
Now, you're still playing from the whites or are you moving up a little bit?
No, I play from the yellow.
You should.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
you should. No, so my dad does too.
Of course.
Attaboy.
Please, just because you're playing a 340-yard par four doesn't make it any less if you par the hole. You know,
Joe, listen, I got to be honest. You and I have played enough and you and I have talked enough golf. If it's a 236-yard par four and you ain't hitting it straight, does it really matter? It doesn't matter.
Not. No, of course.
You know, you can still three jack it. You can still rifle it and warm burn it. It's hard, but we still love it. So I miss you, buddy. Good to see you. Thanks for inviting me in today.
No, it's always a pleasure having you. Real quick, while we got the golf, and then we'll get into this.
No, I sold the treatment for me today, right?
No,
you're not
going to
go crazy on me.
Don't worry about that.
What the heck happened to you the other day? What happened?
I don't know. Frank's still mad at me.
He should be.
Well, I called him. I talked to him.
Did he? Oh, you did?
Oh, of course.
Okay, and he picked up?
I even apologized on air to the guy.
Okay.
And I was trying to get him in here, and I don't know if he doesn't want to come in. I haven't heard from him. I did call him again to try to have him come in. You know, this week with me being alone.
Sure. And so you did the right thing, and he's not really receptive to it, it seems.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I did talk to him. So I just don't think he even wants to come in and do the show with me, and that's fine. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
I got to be honest with you. You want to load it on him. I got to say, Joe.
It was bad.
I was in the car. I forget where I was going. I was going somewhere, and I heard it. And, you know, I love you.
No, I went over the top. I'm the first.
A little unnecessary,
Joe. I'm first to admit it.
I know you are. You're a man of your word. It's all good. Frank will come around.
I hope so.
Yeah, he will. You guys know each other
Frank
forever.
I know Frank a long time.
SNY,
you know?
I mean, I got you.
You know, even before that. So, but I'm in the overnight days. So, hopefully he will. Like I said, I did talk to him. We have talked since then.
Good.
And I did apologize to him, obviously, on the phone and on the air. I did it. So
that's all you could do. If he doesn't, accept that, you're not going to get on your knees and beg.
And I was wrong.
Come on, Frankie. He said he was wrong.
When you're wrong, you're wrong.
That's right. That is
true. There's nothing else you can do.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you. While we're talking Frank, let's talk about the Knicks for a second.
More than a second. Let's go. Couldn't wait.
Overall thoughts on what happened here?
Well, I mean, geez. I can't react to not getting Zion because that's not the Knicks' fault. I mean, you've got to get lucky. Okay, so that is what it is.
Right.
And Barrett's been shooting crooked, but Barrett will be fine.
I guess he had a good game yesterday.
He did. I watched a little bit of it. He'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knox will be better. Yeah, Mitchell Robinson's happy.
This kid they drafted in the second round. I think they might have
something. A kid from Michigan?
Brzezicus. Have something with him.
You know, listen, here, I don't know that it's that dissimilar from what you and Evan go through with the Mets all the time. Like, when you're a fan of a bad team, right?
I think teams are bad, bro.
I hear you. That's true. I mean, that's true.
Although
now you're a big FDU fan, which I think is smart.
Oh, yes.
I heard the interview. What a nice guy.
Horrendous. I ran into him at the golf a couple weeks ago, last week, on 4th of July. I ran into him.
He seems like a hell of a good guy.
Good guy.
And by the way, he's not seeing the end of that 5-year extension. He's going somewhere.
I think so.
And you know what? When you asked him the question, he was forthright. He's like, listen, I love the campus. And he represented FDU so well. He was so selfless and so quick to give others credit. But let's be honest. Somebody calls knocking for $1.2 million to go to the Big Ten. You got to go.
Of course.
Especially when you're 50. I think he's 55.
58.
Yeah. You only get so many chances here. But with the Knicks, I mean, listen, the Durant injury changed everything.
Of course.
I went on your buddy's podcast, and I was devoutly stating, unflinchingly, Knicks are getting Durant. Knicks are getting and I will take that to the grave, that if he's healthy, the Knicks would have gotten Durant. Because once he got hurt, he could no longer dictate the terms to Kyrie. He can't say, oh, Kyrie, here's kind of what we're doing, because let's face it, Durant's better.
Right.
But now that he's hurt, Irving was able to assert himself and really, I think, strongly believe, inject his influence on the decision. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie's a Nets fan, as we know, even though we're from Jersey, whatever.
Right.
I think Kyrie's heart was with the Nets, clearly. And once Durant got hurt, he was able to then kind of exercise that and kind of persuade Durant to come with him. So what I love about the Knicks, finally, didn't overreact.
Yep.
Didn't overspend.
Amen. Absolutely.
Didn't get wacky.
Absolutely.
Didn't get twisted. Didn't get stupid.
Couldn't agree with you more, bro.
Sticking with the plan. So all in all, I'm good.
Yep.
I'm good.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I like some of these guys they brought in. I like Randall a lot. I think Randall, he's only 24.
Joe
has a chance to be a player.
I agree. And you know, when you give somebody 3 years, 60-ish, you know, right around $20 million a pop, and I believe the last year is an option, too, for the Knicks.
I think it is.
First two guaranteed, last year an option.
Yeah, they didn't give any of these guys any long-term deals.
No, everybody was either one or one plus one, with the second being an option in the Knicks' favor. Yep. Smart business again. But the thing about Randall, you know, again, you associate him, all right, somewhat of a failed pick for the Lakers, top 10. They got rid of him, very quietly improved his trade in anonymity, when nobody's watching. And even as, I don't have it in front of me, I think he shot, I want to say, low 30s from three-point, which obviously isn't great, but it shows the trajectory of improvement.
Right.
Randall's a passionate kid. It's 3 years, really 2 years for the Knicks. And, you know, listen, if they can ever get Marcus Morris on this one-year deal, if he reneges from the Spurs, then it looks like he will.
What happened with that deal with the Spurs?
They had more money based on some of their circumstances. The Knicks had more money. Because of what I'm forgetting the kid's name that they signed to the 2-year deal, whatever, there was some issue.
Right.
So the Knicks had more money allotted than they previously thought.
Right.
So he signed a 2-year deal with the Spurs. Now he's saying, "Whoa, I could get more cheese with the Knicks on a 1-year deal. Right. I'm going to play a lot."
Plus, it looks like maybe Reggie Bullock's the guy you're talking
about. Bullock, yeah, exactly.
Because now it looks like he failed a physical or whatever it was.
Thank you, Joe.
Right.
So now, if I'm Morris, who's still only 28 or whatever he is, I say, all right, Knicks aren't going to be good yet. I'm going to get a lot of shots. I'll put up some lofty stats. And then after 1 year, I'll re-enter the free agent market, and it's horrendous next season.
Yeah, no, it's not
good. Agent market sucks next year. So that's what's going on with that. Hey, listen, you know, I hear you. We want to get off this carousel every year. Up until now, it's been the same crap. Try to disguise, try to mask, try to accelerate. Mm-hmm. You know what? Becoming good is never linear. Oh, and do we know that?
Wow.
But you know what, Joe? I finally think that we've got some smart decision makers. I'm not saying Perry's a genius, but he's savvy, and he's motivated by his own timeline, not the timeline of others. So, Knick fans, I'm with you. It's been a while, but you know what? Let's see. The tough thing, Joe, about this year, and we're going to have to deal with this, and this ain't going to be easy, is that we're going to watch SportsCenter, and we're going to see invariably 7, 8, 9, 10 times a year, KP dropping 37, KP busting out for 41, Dallas 21-9. I mean, they're going to be good.
Well,
they're going to be good.
Let me say this about him, okay? I got to see him stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big factor. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. I mean, I was all for the trade. I had no issue with them making that deal. None.
See, I did.
He didn't want to be in New York.
Yeah. But I didn't know that at first.
Okay.
I actually found out on the air.
Oh, is that true?
At the Super Bowl with Tiki. And I lost my mind. I mean, I don't know how I didn't curse on the air. I went bonkers.
Right.
And I did not know what their ultimate plan was. Like, number one, if you don't want to be here, peace out. Go.
Right.
Go.
No, right.
That's why I say with Durant, you want to play for us? Go. Go play for the Nets.
Right.
Listen, I'm from Brooklyn. The Nets ain't the Knicks.
Yeah, no, of course.
And they never will be, even though they'll be better this year and probably next year. So, you know, the days of trying to beg people to come here, that's got to end. It's got to end.
Yeah.
And I think it is.
And the days of, you know, like, you know, with Giannis when he's going to be a free agent of saying, okay, well, we're just going to wait till he gets
here. No, you can't do that,
forget
Joe.
That. It's never happening. Stop it.
I agree. You want to become competent. You want to become viable. Now, listen, you've got to get a little lucky.
You do.
You've got a player development, and that's where the Nets went really right. When they hired Kenny Atkinson.
They did.
You got to remember, when I was doing the Knicks stuff, Kenny was an assistant with the Knicks.
Yes, correct. So,
and Kenny played ball with a lot of guys that I knew growing up, and Kenny's a solid guy. And watching him, you know, because I'd be there 2 hours before the game to do the interviews with the coach, with D'Antoni, whomever. I mean, his work ethic and the grind and the acumen and the passion for detail was very evident back then. And I don't think it's an accident that the Net players got better. I mean, slowly but surely, you could see them getting developed and gaining confidence and gaining different layers to their repertoire. You need to see that with the Knicks. You got to see that with Knox.
Yeah.
You got to see that 40 games after Barrett, you know.
We're going to find out what kind of coach Fizdale is this year. You know, last year was like a grace period for him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, this year we're going to find out. Because they're not going to make I don't expect them certainly to make the playoffs.
Do you expect them to be in the mix?
Give me 30 wins, 35.
I think they can win more than 30.
Do you?
Yeah, the East sucks. Outside of the top heaviness, you got the Sixers. Celtics are different.
Right.
Well, you know, they've got
Milwaukee.
Kemba. Milwaukee's obviously terrific. Right. Toronto.
The Nets are going to be a high 40-win team, I think.
Oh, yeah, no. The Nets, I believe, should be top four.
Yes. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Now, if the Pistons, and they could, and I heard you, you know, mention, I know you mentioned the Heat. I believe the Pistons are in play for Westbrook as well.
Are they?
I believe so. Right. I mean, that's what I believe.
And you don't want Westbrook on the Knicks.
There's no chance.
No.
Stop. Let me waste time on you. Whatever you said, drive it in, you're 100%
right.
And what you said the other day, you're right. Whatever you said, I agree with. No chance. A low efficient player. Making $40 million?
No,
thanks.
Who wants the ball
easy
all the
decision.
Time?
Easy decision.
Who's going to have the ball all the time?
Easy decision.
Easy decision.
Now, if it's Isaiah Thomas running the show, Westbrook's here.
Right. Oh, but yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely.
But now there's an element of
Scott Layden.
Prudence.
He's here. You're right.
Yeah. Scott,
no, I agree.
Geez, Scott Layden.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez, Scott Layden.
It's painful.
Oh, good God,
yeah,
Joe.
I know.
Can I switch gears for a second?
Yeah,
you got to stop getting on Mickey Callaway. You got to stop burying him. He's a puppet. It's not his
fault. No, I understand that. But he's still not a very good manager.
But how do you know? I mean, I don't mean to be a jerk. How do you know?
Well, look, I just don't think he's a New York type guy. I want a real manager in here. Now, is Brody going to let him manage? That's the thing. But you're right. Callaway, between the bullpen being brutal and between Van Wagenen and basically, you know, Robbie Cano's got to keep batting third, which is ridiculous.
He's got 19 ribbies? 18, 19?
I mean, four homers, 18 RBIs. He's batting like .240,
that's
bro.
That's criminal. Somebody did call in. I was stuck in the Holland Tunnel, but I'm still able to get the fan when I was coming in to hang out with you. And somebody, and I agreed with them. You didn't. But they think, the caller, whomever it was, said that Robbie's going to have a good second half.
I
agree.
Yeah.
I think he's going to hit. Now, I'm not saying he's going to hit .330.
Right.
I could see Robbie
going. Well, he's got to be better than he's been,
well,
doesn't
he? True. You can't be worse. But I could see Robbie going to 295, 301.
Really?
He's got a lot of doubles. Yeah, I don't think he's done.
No.
I don't think he's done, Joe.
I don't know, bro.
I'm not saying it was a good move.
Got him for another 4 years.
Well, that's a different conversation.
And he's untradeable.
Yeah.
You can't trade him.
No, you can't, unless you give up everything.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, what was your opinion on when Van Wagenen threw the chair? Like, what was your on-air response?
I didn't faze me
okay,
in the least.
Okay,
not in the least. Who cares?
I have one question.
Right.
Did he throw it at himself? That's who he deserves
course,
to throw it at.
Of course.
That's the only thing I care about.
Of course.
About.
He's done a horrific job.
He's been bad.
I mean,
he's been bad.
Every move he's made. I mean, look, this Cano-Diaz trade is on its way to being one of the worst trades they ever made. I mean,
but that's a heavy statement.
I
just want to make sure that
I understand.
You really mean that?
I think so.
One of the worst trades.
Look,
Seaver?
Always be the worst trade.
Okay.
But I mean, it's in that top five, I think.
Interesting.
It's on its way to that if it's not there already.
Yeah, Earl, it's making its move.
Right.
If it's a horse, it's making its move.
Right.
Around
it's moving
the turn.
Quickly, bro.
Yeah, it's true.
And the bullpen has destroyed them.
Bullpen's
really.
Absolutely
the bullpen
heinous.
Has killed them.
It's heinous.
You know,
it's terrible.
Because they do have some. Obviously, McNeil, Alonzo. They got some young players on his team.
I love McNeil.
Oh, he's tremendous.
I love McNeil. I'll tell you what, Alonzo the other night. I know you guys hit this, but He's such a good kid.
Oh.
He's such a good kid.
He said everything that I would like to see Jeff Wilpon say.
You know what? I'll take it a step further. He said everything that I like to see or hear my son say.
No, I know what you
That's
mean.
That's how good of a kid he is.
You know, given to
perspective,
the
wounded warriors.
You know, the two grandfathers were in, you know, were in the service, were in the military.
Oh, yeah.
The whole deal. And then about the fact, to me, the best thing that he said, okay, besides obviously the charity stuff, the best thing was he said, look, the fan base, the Met fan, the loyal fan base, they easily could jump on the Yankee bandwagon. He basically said that, and they don't do that.
No. Oh, the Met, listen, I always mess around with Met fans on Twitter. Met fans are great.
Of course.
Met fan, you guys are
great. It's one of the best fan bases there is.
You guys are great.
And the owner doesn't understand that. He doesn't get it, bro.
I heard you saying this coming in, too, and I figured this might come up during the conversation. One thing specifically that you said that I want to challenge you on, respectfully, you said that you don't think he cares about Met fans.
I don't.
I'm going to disagree a little bit.
I don't see that.
I can't prove
I think he'd
it.
Watch your money.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest. I think you'll agree with this.
Go ahead.
The Yankees, the winning the championship is the end-all, be-all.
True.
Which, with the Wilpons, that's not the case. If they win, great. If not, as long as we're making money, we're good. That, to me, is their mindset.
True. I guess what I'm saying is you're, you know, the bold declaration that you made about how he feels about the fans, I think there's a little nuance there. I think there's a little somewhere in the middle that maybe you gloss over giving him just a modicum of credit. I'm not saying he's a good owner.
Right.
Trust me, I'm not saying that.
I understand.
I'm not saying
I understand.
But there are some owners who literally don't give a rat's ass about the fans. I don't believe that. I can't accept that to that degree.
All right.
I don't. Now, I'm not a Mets fan,
right.
So I'm not living and dying, but I still live here.
Right.
And
right.
I still watch him.
Right.
You know, it's not as much as I watch the Yankees,
Right, of course. I just don't think he can. I think if they win, great. If they don't win, as long as he's making money, he's happy. That's my feeling.
I mean, see,
he doesn't go the extra mile for the team.
They're the Knicks, Joe. They're the Knicks. They're the Knicks without the drunken sailor spending. They've been really, they've lacked aptitude. They've lacked acumen. Mm-hmm. They've lacked vision.
So you say to the Knicks, and I'll tell you this, and I said this a million times. You probably heard me say it. I don't know if you're listening or not, but if Jim Dolan owned the Mets, he'd buy everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jim Dolan
would. You'd love Dolan.
He would spend the money like crazy. And here's the other thing
that's true.
Dolan would not bow down. This is another thing that bothers me about the Wilpons.
Mm-hmm.
They bow down to the Yankees. I mean, they really do. And the Yankees, they don't even act like the Mets exist.
No, there's no need to.
Right, well, of course.
There's no need
to. And the Mets bow. I mean, like, you know.
Give me an example, though.
Well, I mean, when Mariano Rivera got his 400th save at Citi Field, right? Or I think it was at Citi Field. I think it was at Shea at that point. They gave him the rubber. I mean, CC Sabathia, they had a tribute for the guy on the scoreboard when they played the Yankees last week. What are you doing? I mean, you can't do that.
So do you
think that you think the Yankees are tributing any Mets at all?
Well, I don't know the answer to it. I honestly don't. And quite frankly, neither do you. I mean, because I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, say Darryl Strawberry played his whole career with the Yankees with the Mets or Gooden.
Right.
And they accomplished, you know, a benchmark accomplishment, and it happened to be in the Bronx. I would think that the Yankees would do the right thing.
I don't know. I don't know that, but I don't think they would, but that's me.
Yeah.
But again,
by the way, I like the white belt, Joe.
Thank you.
Very stylish.
But Wilpon would go after. He would be,
Dolan.
Dolan would be all about taking on the Yankees. He would not, right? I mean, I think he would.
Monetarily or verbally or both?
Both. Like, he would want to say, hey, wait a minute. No, I want to take the town away from the Yankees.
Yeah, I think he would try to do that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think he would try. Because, listen, as much as Dolan has driven us crazy for two decades, crazy.
Yeah, of course.
Maddening ownership. There is nothing that you could say about his willingness to spend.
No doubt.
If anything, it's been sloppy
right.
And it's been misguided and it's been misdirected.
Right.
Sure, but at least he's tried.
Yep.
At least he's tried.
And they're restricted. There's a salary cap in the NBA. I understand it's a soft cap, but there's still a salary cap. In baseball, I know you got luxury tax, whatever. But it wouldn't matter.
He
would spend
money. He'd go right over it.
No doubt about it.
I hear you.
Wouldn't even care.
I know. But he doesn't own the Mets. He owns the Knicks, which is why we don't like him.
Yeah, right. No, it's right. 100%. And isn't it amazing?
Let's go. Keep going to our mythical world here.
Isn't it amazing? And we had a whole, Evan and I were talking about, we had a whole thing about this last week. that he also owns the Rangers, and the Rangers are actually run very well.
Yeah, very, very efficiently.
It's like a different world.
Because he doesn't care about the Rangers.
No, I know that. I know that.
And I don't mean that flippantly.
No, I know what you mean.
You know, his desire is to see the Knicks shine.
Yes, of course.
And he gets in his own way. I'll tell you this, as much as we clout him, you know, you have to acknowledge the last, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years, don't you see some more restraint? Some measure, yeah. Different measured.
Yeah, I think there's been more restraint. I do. He gets in trouble when he takes
the
fans
Oakley
on.
Well, the Oakley thing is the water side,
Oakley,
which is
and he takes that one fan. He was yelling at the guy at the garden.
He said, sell the team, and he bounced him from the garden. Come on.
You got to calm down with that.
You got to ignore it. You don't even react.
Right. You just have to walk away from it.
Yep.
And that's the stuff that really hurts him badly.
Actually, you know what he should do? But he's just not wired this way. You know, how old's Dolan now? 59, 60, whatever he is.
In that area.
I mean, you've got all the money in the world, right?
You
got life by the short ones.
Yep. Pretty much.
I don't know mentally where he's at.
It's hard to disagree with you.
Theoretically, you've got that money. You've got your health, thank God.
Right.
You should be the happiest person in the world. So if somebody says that to me and I'm his age and his status, and, you know, if I'm him, you know what? Say the kid's name is Joe. Joe, come back. Security, bring Joe back. I bring him to the locker room.
Yeah.
Actually have a talk with the kid.
No, I
Hey,
understand.
Joe, we're trying, buddy.
Yeah.
Stick with us, man. Stick with us. Stick with us.
Yeah.
And actually have a conference. And maybe I educate the kid, and I'm sure Dolan knows this. I hope he does. I actually take him, say, how old was the kid? I don't know, 19?
Yeah,
he was young,
I don't
right?
know how old he was. I don't think he was,
It wasn't a grown man. He was maybe a year or two out of high school. I say, you know what? We want to get this back to when your dad was watching us with Frazier and Reed, Monroe, and Bush, and Bradley, and Red Holtzman.
Right.
Educate the kid.
Right.
Have a conversation.
Yeah, no,
don't
you're
kick
right.
him out.
No.
But that's just not how he's wired, Joe.
I'm with you.
No. No.
We breaking here, Dolph?
Nah, no,
bro, we're going
it.
Forever, right to
nice.
The top.
Nice, Dolph says,
no
BT's in, no commercials.
BT's in, no
commercials. No commercials. BT's in, nobody wants to pay while BT's in. That's why there's no commercials.
Can I read this first? Can I read this, and then we continue with BT? All right, let me read this.
Joe gets really close to the paper and reads it. I love when you do this.
Really close. World-class owners and chefs of Wildwood's famous Little Italy restaurant and bar are bringing you Little Italy of Metuchen, family-owned, which is in Jersey. Family-owned and operated since 1996. Their motto is simple. Family, friends, and great food. Check out their authentic wine selection, lunch specials, and best-in-class wood-fired pizza. Prepared in-house. Come out and spend your lunch at Little Italy Metuchen. Enter his friends, leave his family. It's Little Italy's way. They even offer catering. Call 848-205-2150 or visit them on Facebook. Little Italy of Metuchen, where sports, your family, and Italian food meet. Mamma mia. There you go.
That's a good read. Well done, Joe.
Oh, great. Brian, yeah. Thanks.
I think
bro.
We all knew where Metuchen was, but.
Well, some people may not. Case. You never know.
Yeah.
You live in Jersey now, so not everybody maybe knows where Metuchen
is. That's true.
You live in New York, you might not know.
That's true.
You know, while we're on the NBA, Brandon Tierney, of course, with us. While we're on the NBA, I've said this the other day, too. First time in years that there is actually, like, parity in the NBA.
Oh, and it's been proven out in terms of the odds, the way they distributed the odds. I know. You like it like this,
oh,
right?
I love it. Yeah. It's great.
I agree. I think when you disperse the talent around the league, it empowers 7, 8, 9 fan bases to think we can really win.
No question.
Unlike one or two, which is what it's been really for the last 6, 7 years or so. The one thing, and I'm so happy the Lakers didn't get Kawhi because they didn't deserve
it. I never saw Kawhi playing with LeBron.
Me neither.
That never made sense to me.
But until it was official, I was still sweating it out a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, there is something to be said. To have one super team, like one villainous super team that everybody hates. Like it's unified hate in the sporting sense. And if the Lakers, after Magic's hastily called press conference when he quit and Jeannie Buss didn't know that he was quitting.
Right.
When Rob Pelinka didn't know the salary cap rules and cost himself $4 million and almost cost himself the Anthony Davis trade.
Right.
He didn't deserve LeBron. The only reason LeBron went there was to make movies and obviously to play great basketball, clearly.
Right.
But, you know, you get LeBron because you're the Lakers. You get Anthony Davis because you're basically the Lakers. I didn't want to see him get Kawhi Davis because they're the Lakers and just stumble upon it.
Yeah.
So, but if they did, think about the energy, the venom collectively we would have had as fans to root against them.
Well, I
so
don't like the Lakers. I can't stand the Lakers anymore anyway. So
well, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But even even before that, I mean, God knows they don't need any more championships over there.
No, you know? I hear you. Jerry West, though. Look at what Jerry West has done.
Right.
Jerry West.
He's with the Warriors now, is he? Where is Jerry West now?
Jerry West with the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers. That's right. Not the Warriors.
You know
Clippers.
What's crazy, too, Joe? Jerry West. I mean, listen, of course, he built the 80s Lakers dynasty.
He
traded for Shaquille. He got Shaq to come from Orlando.
Yep.
He traded for Kobe with the Vlade Divac trade on draft night.
Draft night.
Those are top of the resume bullet points, right? What people forget, He even went to the Memphis Grizzlies and hired Hubie Brown and won 50-something games.
He did.
With James Posey as the second best player.
Tremendous executive.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, almost as good an executive as a player he was.
I think he's the best executive of all time. He's not the best player of all time.
No.
I think he's a better executive than he was a player, and he's one of the top 15 players of all time.
Jerry West was unbelievable. He really was. And back then, when the Lakers played the Celtics, which when I was growing up in the 60s was basically every year, I rooted for the Lakers all the time against.
You did?
Oh, against that team?
Just because of the Celtics.
I hated
Knicks dynamic.
Talking about hating the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Russell Celtics, I couldn't stand them.
Yeah, no, I
mean,
hear
they won every year.
But they were classy. Well, so were the Lakers, too.
Yeah,
the Lakers were classy, too.
You felt bad because the Lakers would always be in the finals against them and never beat them.
They'd always come up just short,
Oh, my God.
That's why. Why do they call Jerry West Mr. Clutch?
He lost more than he won. You know what? He actually, the first year they had Wilt in the 68-69 season, and they lost in the finals in Game 7 in L.A. to Russell's last game, actually.
Uh-huh.
West was actually the MVP of the finals.
He was unbelievable.
Yep, and how about the shot he hit against the Knicks? It would have won the game
60 feet, 70 feet, whatever it was.
It would have been a three-pointer today.
That was only
a two-point shot back then.
And
the Knicks went on to win that game in overtime, which people forget.
Where were you watching that game?
I watched it at home. It was like 11 o'clock. It was 11 o'clock at night.
Channel 9? WOR?
I think so.
Nice.
You know what's funny about that game?
What?
The next day, okay, it was this Friday night, no
okay.
less.
Now, how old is Joe at this point?
This is 1970.
I was not
17. I was 16 at that point.
Joe's getting ready to get in the car, slick the hair back, go have a little fun. Right?
I don't know about slicking the hair back. Hair was pretty long back then.
Pack of cigarettes somewhere, right, Joe?
No, no cigarettes.
Not at that point?
No. I haven't smoked a cigarette in years.
No, I know you haven't. At least 10 years, right?
Not 10. 2012.
That's awesome. Good for you, Joe.
2012.
Good for you.
But
buddy.
Anyways, what I was going to say to you was...
the next day after that game.
The next day was a Saturday, but I had to go do the SATs like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm up, so there's no way I'm not seeing game 3 of the finals.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I was up, I don't know what time, till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I had to go take the SATs. So
Is that why you wound up in college in Indiana?
Maybe one SATs of the reasons. I don't know. It might have been. It might have
SATs
been.
Took a backseat, right?
I never paid a great amount of attention to school. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
If I didn't like it, if I didn't like the subject, I didn't care.
Joe, I got to be honest, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain things, you know, math, it didn't click.
Math wasn't for me.
Didn't click.
I was a history guy. I loved history. American history, I loved it.
Love history. I always liked history. I love history as an adult. Love it.
Right, right.
Always enjoyed words. Always liked to read.
Yeah, English was okay.
Write.
English was good.
Yeah, that was.
I was into like Shakespeare. We were learning Shakespeare back then. I was into that.
Some of
the Shakespeare stuff was great.
Absolutely.
You know? But I mean, as far as you're right. Science, I couldn't take. I couldn't stand it. Any kind of math, give me a break.
Math was useless.
I couldn't take
useless.
Math. Right.
I was so bad at math, I couldn't even properly cheat. Because I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. I'm like, what is that sign? How do I know it's on my friend's paper,
algebra and geometry?
Oh, please
what?
Stop.
Like, I'm never going to use this in my life. Like, who's kidding who?
I'm not even trying.
I had to go to summer school twice for that.
So did I. Because
I failed algebra, and I failed geometry.
But your summer school, so you grew up, where was your high school compared to where you grew up?
Right there.
All right, 3 miles away?
Yeah, yeah.
I had to go to summer school from Brooklyn, right?
Right.
To Xavier High School on 30 West 16th Street.
In Manhattan.
Summer school almost every year, except my last year. Two buses.
Oh, God.
Two trains.
Oh. Are you serious?
Oh, Joe.
That's painful.
I couldn't stand it.
They didn't have it in your school?
What do you mean?
Summer school.
No, that's where I went to school. It was an all boys private school.
I see.
My dad sent me there kicking and screaming.
No girls.
It was the worst.
Then you had to go to summer school. Yeah.
And it takes me an hour and 47 minutes to get there.
Yeah, summer school. No, that's painful.
Oh, it sucks.
To me, there was just no use for it. And I had to take a language. And for some reason, I don't know why I took French.
I knew you were going to say French.
And I knew it. I never forget. I don't know if she's alive anymore. This is 100 years ago.
We got a little Stacy's mom going on here?
No. Right. I'm just saying, no. She was a very nice woman. And she was a little older woman then. So, like I said, I don't know if she's still with us. This is 1970. Miss Philippone was her name.
Okay.
And she was my French teacher. And she would tell me this, because I could care less about French, to be honest with you. Like I said, she said, look, Joe, because she liked me. All you got to do, come in here, you know, show a little effort, and I'll pass you. And that's what she did.
Really?
That's it. Yeah. I like got C's. Without even really doing anything, because I
was
in class every day.
Uh-huh.
I made a little bit of an effort, And she was cool with that.
Joe, in my world, you know what a C meant? I was eligible to play ball. That's C. I'll take it. Let's go. Let's go.
No, I understand.
C? Okay. Got a C. Let's go.
I understand.
You know what I took?
What's
Latin.
That? Yeah.
Latin? Then I took. Well, you had to. It was.
You said that. It was a Catholic school, right?
Yeah. It was.
What was it? Xavierian?
No. Xavier. Jesuit based.
Okay.
So Latin, obviously, is
right,
the root
right,
of
right,
basically
right.
every language.
Were you like an altar boy too?
No, I wasn't. I definitely was not an altar boy. No,
right.
But I obviously went to church. I go to church in my uniform.
Well, I went to Catholic right school. You know, I went from kindergarten through sixth grade. I went to Catholic school.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
so,
where the tie and all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
I didn't mind that. That was right around the corner from my house where I grew up. But to go to Xavier, and let's move on
rough.
And get back to sports. Nobody cares about. But it was absolutely. It was brutal.
Yeah. No, I understand. That's pretty tough. Want to take some calls?
Yeah,
let's get some calls in.
Let's
here.
Go.
Well, we got a couple. How about Mike out in L.A.? He's on a fan. Mike, how are you? You're with Joe and Brandon.
What's up, guys? Long time no speak, Joe. Wanted to actually bring up something. So I couldn't help but think of, with all the Mets bullpen problems right now, how would you compare what's going on right now with the 09 bullpen with, like, Aaron Heilman, like, Scott Schoenweiss, and that disaster?
Yeah, but you know what? That 09 bullpen, everybody got hurt in that bullpen, and that's why they collapsed like they did. This bullpen is different. This bullpen was put together from the beginning of the season, and they've just been an absolute disaster, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little different. A little different than 09.
For sure. The Diaz thing is really shocking, in my opinion. It's, like, the most shocking. I just wanted a quick thing on that. But also, to Brandon, what are your thoughts on Russell now? Was he joining the Heat? Is that what's happening?
Who's that, D'Angelo Russell?
I think he's talking about Russell Westbrook. About Westbrook, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows yet. Listen, here's the thing. When you look at Westbrook, I think – and by the way, Miami's been prominently mentioned. I throw Detroit in there as well.
Yeah.
And there could always be a wild card because with the NBA, it always seems something comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul George being acquired by the Clippers. You just don't know.
Right.
But if you're going to make a move for Westbrook, I believe there's really only one type of team that should do it. And that's a team whose finances are already out of whack, and they're in that place of – it's almost like a nebulous place where you're not developing kids and you're nowhere near a championship. You're kind of in the middle, so you might as well say, what the hell, let's go for it.
Right,
like the Pistons with Blake Griffin.
Right.
If Blake's 25, maybe I don't do it. But he's beginning to exit – well, maybe not exit, but he's getting toward the – he's in his prime.
Yeah, he's getting up there.
You know.
In NBA world, he's getting up there.
So you take a chance. And the Pistons, they're never going to get a marquee free agent. So you've got to do things a bit unconventionally. Same with Jimmy. But even though Miami does get free agents historically, right now they're, all right, they got Jimmy Butler. Where are you going with that? You're going nowhere unless you get somebody else. So I don't think it's a great mix, Butler and Westbrook. Nor do I really think that Westbrook and Blake Griffin's a I don't think Westbrook's a great mix with anybody, I guess is what I'm saying. But I do think there's certain teams that need to give it a shot just because of based where they are financially and maybe the age of their roster and some other, you know, impediments that they just can't get past in terms of trying to move forward. So we'll see.
Right. We will see. 877-337-6666. Let's talk to Dan in Belmore. Dan, you're on with Joe and Brandon. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Joe, born in 1960, feeling your pain, root for the same teams.
God bless you.
Yeah. So I've been watching Barrett, and I'm not impressed at all. I mean, I think we missed the boat. If we would have had one pick earlier, we could have got the point guard. And now I don't think this kid is much of
a
player.
Dan, calm down. The kids played three games or whatever it is in the summer league. Can we calm down and let's see what the kid's 19 years old. No, but I mean, really.
No,
I'm just looking at it athletically. I just don't think he's one of these superstar type players. He doesn't look that great to
me. Dan, I don't think he's an uber athlete. He's not an uber athlete. But let me say this, Dan. If you're gonna call it up and challenge whether or not he's gonna be a great player, and that's fine. And you could be right. I like him, but you never know. You can't say that they should have taken somebody that was drafted in front of him. What you could say is, here's the guy that I've watched this summer who was drafted 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. That's the guy they should have drafted.
What I meant by that is we missed the boat is what I'm saying is we would have got the pick at number two. We could have. It's the same thing when we missed out on Curry by one pick.
Yeah, but Dan, that's nothing you can
all over again.
Yeah, no, but there's nothing you can do about that. And again, you can't tell me what R.J. Barrett is after three summer league games. I'm sorry. Give me a break. You don't know.
Nobody
knows.
I'd say
of course not.
He made a move last night where the timing, and Dockett actually commented on this. I think it was in the third quarter, where he was working a pick and roll, and his timing was perfect. And the game slowing. It was really, I thought, an illumination of how the game started to slow down, even only in a week.
Right, I know
where
what you mean.
It was perfect. You know, all right, pick and roll, defender, my guy pops, boom. And he didn't do that the first game or two. So, listen, he's got toughness. You know, he basically grew up in Brooklyn. His dad at St. John's.
And Rowan Barrett. Yeah.
Yep. So I think Barrett.
And he wants to be a Knick. I mean, that's the other thing
good.
I like about Barrett. He wanted to be a Knick.
Abs embraces it. Embraces the challenge.
No doubt about it.
Let's go for it.
Yep. I'm here with Brandon Tierney. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. I just got the news that former Jet coach Walt Michaels has passed away. Rich Cimini with that information. It's according to the Wilkes-Barre Times Leader. And, of course, he did a real good job with the Jets, took them to the championship game in 1982, took them to the playoffs in 1981, even though he lost that disaster to Buffalo for the first time in 12 years. And they fired him. And B and I were just talking about this. They fired him after the championship game in 82 because there were some issues on the plane ride home from Miami where I guess he made some comments about Leon Hess and Leon Hess's wife. And that's what got him fired.
That'll do it.
And Michaels also did have a little bit of a drinking problem as well. Mm. But he was a good coach, bro. He really was.
You know, he was the first Jets coach I remember.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that age where you're like, okay, and it varies for some people. Yeah, it could be six where it's really clear, seven.
Right.
But that's the age where, you know, I remember you mentioned going to church before. I remember running home from church because church would end it. It would start, the late mass would start at 12:30.
Oh, right.
And my dad didn't. My mom would take us. My dad on Sundays wouldn't always go. He's watching the Jets and the Giants, you know.
Well, couldn't you go action a little earlier, maybe to 10 o'clock mass or something?
I usually had CYO. I had games. Whatever. 12:30 usually worked out for the schedule. That's why we kind of did it. And I remember running. We were around the corner. I remember running home, you know, 12:30 mass, Catholic mass, an hour
no,
10 minutes.
I know.
You got to read everything. Takes forever.
No, I know to
get home midway through the first quarter.
Right.
And that was the first Jets team that I remember. He lived, what was he, 90-something?
89.
89. God bless you. Hell of a life, 89.
Yeah. And I remember he coached also.
What's that, Joe?
He coached also in the USFL. He coached the Generals
for a while,
too.
That I remember. But I don't remember the circumstances of the flight home from Miami.
Yeah, I've been.
Wow.
Was he fired
right away?
I think he was fired right after that.
Wow.
And they made Walton the head coach, and what a disaster that turned out.
Joe must go.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Now, he did take him to the playoffs a couple years ago.
I hear you.
85 and 86. Yeah. But Michaels, and I'll never forget, and if you were a little kid, but when the playoff game against the Raiders in 82, do you remember that?
Lance Mell with the picks.
Right, the two picks
I was
in
watching
L.A.
Sure.
But the whole story at halftime, you know what happened?
When Marty Lyons punched somebody punched the glass. So Al Davis had, go ahead.
Well, what happened was, that was also the game where Al Zadel pulled Chris Ward's helmet off, if you remember, during the game.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jets won it 17-14. As you said, two big picks late by Lance Mell, the whole deal.
He was our number 56.
He was a terrific player until he tore his knee up in 86. But anyway, no, the story was at halftime, there was a call into the Jet locker room, and Walt Michaels thought it was Al Davis, that Al Davis had set this call up, and that it was Davis calling, and he went crazy. And I remember him going nuts about it, and he was screaming about it. Al Davis set this up, and da-da-da, and do-do-do, and all that. And, it was a crazy stuff. And they won that game, and then, of course, the disaster in Miami.
Yeah, the A.J. Dewey.
When Don Shula, where it never rains in Miami, so Don Shula said, well, we don't need to talk.
Nah, no talk necessary. Let's slow down Freeman and Wesley, because they're fast. Let me ask you a question, Joe, because I have my answer, but I want to hear your answer.
Go ahead.
We all know how you lament your teams,
yes,
and we love you for it.
Yeah.
That makes you uniquely Joe Beningo.
I appreciate
you're the best. But what would you rather see at this point? The Jets win the Super Bowl? And I know football is your favorite sport. I do get that.
Right.
The Jets win the Super Bowl or the Knicks win the championship?
It's not even debatable. The Jets Super Bowl.
It's definitely
the Jets. I got to see that, man. It's been 50 years now.
Yeah.
You know, I was 15 years old when they won it all. And as I always say, look, it was great. And I saw all my teams win in a 15-month span. I saw the Jets, Mets, and Knicks all win championships
in
15 months.
Joe, you should have
retired. I should have quit right then. What did I know? But, I got to see that
it's
Super
the Jets
Bowl.
For
I got to have that. I want to know what that feeling is, that my team is going to the bowl. Like, they win the AFC title, hopefully at home, because that would be something.
Like when we beat the Jaguars. I mean, that home playoff game.
Right.
Not that was the championship game, but that just crazy
atmosphere. You realize the last home playoff game?
I was at that game. That was awesome.
Oh, I was there, too. The last home playoff game was the game against the Colts.
The Colts, 41-0.
That's the last home playoff game they've had.
You know what, though, Joe? Because you saw those teams win. I've never seen the Knicks win. I've never seen the Jets win.
I've seen everybody win, thank God.
I hear you. But my answer is the Knicks.
Okay.
As much as I love the Jets. And I'll tell you why real
quick.
Tell
me why.
Think about the journey for an NBA championship. It really encompasses months. Play after, you get to tax day. And that's generally right around, April 15th.
Right after,
when you start playing the playoffs for the most part.
Right.
And, if you're an elite team, you sweep the first round. Then you get into the semis. For the Knicks to win, that's why, when they almost beat the Rockets in 94.
Right.
And even the Spurs in 90. But I knew we had no chance
in
that series.
No, especially you didn't even play.
I know. I was just thrilled to be there. There's no way we were beating that Spurs team. Everybody knew it. But if the Knicks ever win, it's like 2 months of euphoria. If the Jets win, it's 2 weeks of euphoria. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you mean.
So I'm almost playing the odds of euphoria.
Well, to me, the Jets are
I got you.
They're my number one team. And I need, before I die, I need to see that.
You'll get one
more
buddy.
Time.
You
I don't
deserve,
know, bro.
Get, you, yeah, you will.
I don't know.
No, you will.
I don't know. I hope so.
You will.
I want to see a Super Bowl by Donald's fourth year.
He's going to be so good.
I hope so.
No, that's not, he's the real deal.
I hope so,
we got
bro.
Our quarterback finally.
Well, he needs to have a big year this year. This is a year now to make a big jump now.
Well, listen, what do you have, 18 touchdowns and 15 picks? I mean, that's pretty
bro,
damn good.
And he was much better after he came back after the injury.
Which is what I love.
Yep.
And the weather in Buffalo, to win there. And he showed such physical and mental resilience.
Yep.
I love the fact that his season was interrupted almost kind of. And I don't know that I knew it then, to be fair, in real time. But in hindsight, to kind of recalibrate, come back, and get so much
better.
Whether
he was really hurt or not, they did the right thing by sitting him for a couple weeks.
Oh, totally. No doubt about it.
They really did.
Absolutely. It was the prudent move. No doubt. It worked out.
Yep.
He's such a good kid. He's all football, man.
Bro, all football.
All football. And listen, as much as Eli, you and I battled on Eli, he's a lot like Eli in that regard. Yeah. He's all football.
Well, you know what? He doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer. Give me the two championships Eli's got.
That's it,
bro.
I know.
He doesn't have to be Dan Marino, John Elway, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Give me two championships, and I'm good.
I hear you, but would it be the worst? Why can't we have a Hall of Famer?
That's fine.
I mean, can we have both?
We can.
All right.
But I'd rather than him be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I hear you.
Give me two championships.
I got you.
Give me one. Give me one. Hey, we got another Hall of Famer this year. We got Kevin Mowaian.
Now, the Jets are in the Super Bowl. I know. Jets are in the Super Bowl. You have to go to the game, right?
Oh, I'm there.
See, that's something else that I wrestle with because I'm like, do I want to be in the stadium?
No, I got to be there.
I will be, too, because I'll be there doing the radio.
If they win, I got to see that confetti coming down and all of that.
I
got
to
see that.
I hear you, Joe, but to be there with 35 or 40,000 people who aren't Jets fans.
Yeah, and I know what you mean.
I'd almost rather be in my man cave, like in the basement with my buddies
family. I get that.
Crying.
I get that, but it's something I'd have to be there.
I got you.
I'd have to be
there. I got the symbolism. I know you mean.
I have to be there. But I know what you mean, but I have to be there.
Okay.
And to be at the AFC title game at home, as much as I can't stand MetLife Stadium, but to be at the AFC title game at home and to have that feeling of what it would be like that I know now my team is going to the Super Bowl, I just don't know how I would react to that.
9-7 this year? What are you thinking?
And I think better.
I
think they win. Look, every coach, as you know, every coach that the Jets have had since Parcells has had a winning year his first year.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Mangini, Bowles, every single person. Yep.
Okay.
Herm.
Right, everybody.
Al Groh,
correct. The 1 year he was there, 9-7. Although they blew it, they were 9-4. But that's another
story. Remember when Kribet caught the touchdown from Martin on the halfback option, and Keyshawn had one catch for 1 yard.
Yep. They were 4-0 that year.
I know
they started 4-0 and they collapsed.
I know.
But anyway, as you know, I think they're a 10-win team. I think that's a possibility. I really do.
I don't really dispute that. I mean, they've got I wish the O-line was just a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think
the defense is going to be very good.
It's going to be good.
Really good.
It's going to be good.
They need another corner. They should re-sign Mo Claiborne. Because who else is out there?
Yeah, I would bring him back,
Why
too.
Why not?
Tremaine Johnson. What a waste of money that was.
Well, he'll be better this year.
Now I'm reading the articles. He's in shape. He's motivated.
Well, because Williams is
going to
be kicking his rear end around.
I know.
And he's going to be doing that to the whole defense.
It's about time.
He
got an ass kicker as a DC.
I love him.
He's going to be yelling, going to be cursing, going to be throwing stuff.
And hopefully this Keenan Williams turns out to be – look, I don't want to say Reggie White, which would be unbelievable, but he turns out –
You're talking about
Quinton Williams?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, I've interviewed him a few times.
He seems like a terrific kid.
You know what else? He loves football.
Yeah, no.
Loves football.
God bless him.
And I know this is going to sound pretty basic, but he aspires to be – not just good, he aspires to be legendary.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he embraces that. Like, he – you can tell – it's funny, a lot of, when you do this and what Joe and I do, not every great talent loves the games. It's crazy. you just think, wow, great players love the game. No, there's varying degrees of passion for the game.
Right.
Quinnen Williams aspires to be great. Yeah. It'll be fun to watch.
No, I'm very excited about them this year. And I'll tell you right now, and I don't know how you feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Browns are getting so overhyped.
I disagree.
You really do?
No, I believe the hype is justified.
You think they're a playoff team this year?
Well, that doesn't mean that the hype can't go sideways. But where we are in July, based on the top-tier talent, forget about Odell Beckham Jr. Even Denzel Ward, who they took fourth, is a superstar corner.
I get that.
Joe, they're
reinforcements. They got a rookie head coach.
I know.
And a second-year, as good as he was, second-year quarterback.
I know. But
and
I
the
almost,
pressure of being good now.
Well, then what are we saying about Sam Darnold? He's the same deal, second-year guy.
Yeah, but
a little less pressure,
to be
fair.
Yeah, the pressure, the expectation level for the Jets is not what it is for the Browns.
No, there's no doubt. But the Jets' talent level is not what the Browns is on paper.
Probably not.
And I think that you look at the AFC North, Bengals are rebuilding.
Watch out for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's playing with a chip on their shoulder now. No Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. They got something to prove now.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Watch
with
out
that.
For that.
Yeah, and who they? Well, I'm forgetting the kid's name. They moved up. He's Devin Bush, I believe. They moved up.
Yes,
to 10.
The kid from Michigan, linebacker from Michigan,
runs a 4.3.
Yeah, no.
They got a little quicker.
Yeah.
They were still reeling from Shazier's injury.
They were.
I mean, that was mid-season.
And they still just missed the playoffs last year.
I know. 9-6-1.
9-6-1.
Because they had the one tie against the Browns.
Yep.
What do you think the Giants do, Joe? It's early.
I don't know. I don't know what the Giants are.
7-9.
I don't know. I think we'll see Daniel Jones playing before the year's over. That I do think.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Unless Eli, and, you know, listen, and we can romanticize, and everybody loves Eli. Even, you know, we can critique what we do with him. I'd love to see him have a great season. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones going to play at some
point. I think so. Yeah. BT, thanks for coming in.
Joe, it's my honor.
Thank
you very
Brandon
much for having
Tini,
me, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy.
You know I love you, man. I really do.
Back at you, kid.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.